You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, Mitch. Thanks for joining the program.
Mike, thanks for having me, buddy.
Mitch, for those that haven't come across your stuff online, tell our listeners who you are and I guess why you're on the show. How did we end up together here today?
That's a wonderful question. Yeah, I'm a pharmacist. I'm a retail pharmacist, and I have a podcast. It's called Retail Pharmacy, spelled R-E-T-E-L-L Pharmacy. And it's been going about a year and a half now, putting out an episode a week. And it's basically just everyone who works in retail or doesn't. I mean, most of the listeners work in retail, but people who are working in retail and, you know, just think that this is stressful and that sometimes it can like suck and can be like rough. And the whole idea for this show is just to kind of let you know you're not alone. Like, we're all going through this together. There are some great positive points to the podcast, things that, hey, we can do this better. We can do this better. But a lot of it is, you know, we have patients that are really rude to us and we have to smile and just take it. And so, I'm sure we'll get into the whole idea about, I mean, how I got started with it and everything, but, yeah, that's, I'm just doing the podcast and, also trying to do, some, online presence, doing, Facebook and Twitter and trying to be as active on there as I can, with the podcast as well.
Mitch, you're a hard guy to track down though on LinkedIn. Are you on LinkedIn or do you have, or do you have a stage name because of all of the things that you get to talk about retail that you're afraid that the retail mafia is going to come and hunt you down?
The retail mafia. That's actually good. I want to speak to that point you just said. I'll answer the question you about the retail mafia. That was that was a struggle for me up front because I was like, should I use my name? Should I not? Like, should I say who I work for? Which I don't. That's the one thing I don't do is disclose my actual company.
But sure.
You know, I thought in the end, like, I'm just trying to help us people in the field and in pharmacy. And so I'm just kind of like, well, if my employer finds it and they don't like how I'm talking about patients can be annoying sometimes, then, you know, it is what it is. But no, LinkedIn, Mike, I am not on LinkedIn. There's a lot of things that I don't do online.
Good for you if you, you know.
Yeah. LinkedIn is one.
But is Mitch Lee your real name? Or is it your stage name?
Yeah, no, Mitch Lee is my official birth name.
Lee could be like a great middle name. It's like all the radio guys' last names are Alan or something. It's like, come on, they're not all named Alan.
And gosh, now that we're talking about it, maybe I could have come up with a better stage name. I'll start from here on out. It'll be something else. But no, it does. It rhymes with PharmD. It kind of rolls off the tongue, Mitch Lee PharmD. That's how I started out. And so it rhymes. But yeah, that's it. And, you know, LinkedIn is not something I've actually talked to some other people that are doing the podcasting thing or who have done podcasting, pharmacists and stuff. And they've all been like, well, where's your LinkedIn profile? And I'm like, well, I haven't really. The thing is like I've been doing retail for like 15 years. So I just haven't really thought of networking.
LinkedIn has come a long way in the last few years. Mm-hmm. Once Microsoft bought it, it truly was more of a place for not content and not the cool stuff, because I'm jealous of your stuff when I look in of the interaction that you have with your listeners, which I think that Facebook and Twitter do and Instagram, whatever, do a much better job of that interaction. LinkedIn, people are, it's getting more content driven, which I'm sure a lot of people hate seeing the you don't want to start seeing cats and stuff on there. But I think your stuff has a lot more interaction on Facebook and Twitter. And I can see exactly why that would be a strong suit for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has fit really well, you know, especially Twitter. I'm a lot more active on Twitter. With Facebook, it's still just as well. A lot of the podcasts is having people send in what I call patients of the week or topics or things they want to discuss. Interacting with the listeners is a huge driving point for each of my episodes, because I think it's great for the listeners to kind of help them vent. And by me kind of just reading what someone else is going through, kind of like everyone else knows they're not alone. And let's be honest, people love hearing their name on a recording on a podcast, you know? So you say their name and give them a little shout out and people enjoy that. And yeah, connecting with the listeners is something that I've really, really enjoyed from the beginning.
It's a really cool show. What Mitch will do is he'll come on, and the first thing you do, I think, is really cool, is break the third wall, I guess they say in the movie business, or the fourth wall maybe, which isn't the fourth wall. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like House of Cards did that, where he speaks to the audience.
Yeah, I think it's the fourth, but I could be wrong.
Must be the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But Mitch will come on and he'll really be just like a friend saying, hey, how'd your week go? You know, it's Friday. How'd things go? And usually kind of some crazy things that have happened in the retail world.
Yeah.
And you're kind of the decompressing friend that people need. Maybe you've saved a lot of marriages by people being able to kind of listen and talk to you on the way home from their job instead of taking it out on their dog or something at home.
That's a huge compliment.
It's great.
You know, I appreciate that. I think so what I wanted to do with this podcast from the beginning, I had the idea, and then I was like, all right, well, let me listen to some pharmacy podcasts out there and see what everybody else is doing. The couple of ones that I listened to a year and a half ago when I first checked out what was out there was really kind of stiff and you know, all about like professionalism and like, you know, this is, you know, we're in pharmacy and you know, here's the new medications that are coming out. And, you know, and even in pharmacy school, we're just hammered with being with professionalism and being empathetic and to the patients and all that stuff. And don't get me wrong. That defines our profession. And I'd like to think my staff maybe will say otherwise. I'd like to think I'm keep that professionalism and the empathy towards patients and everything at work. But with the podcast, I wanted to break that wall that we're talking about and be like, look, you know, the board of pharmacy schools, your employer, everyone's saying to, you know, here, we're pharmacists. This is our profession. We'd be super professional. And if someone yells at you, you're just going to smile and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, someone needs to say it. Like our, like jobs in retail can suck really bad, you know, and like, and do it in a way where, yeah, you kind of joke about it, like you laugh about it. And like, I need to be just myself and be real and try not take myself too seriously. That's the whole point of the podcast, is not taking myself super seriously. Yeah.
Do you really record those on Friday?
No. So I used to record on Mondays. My schedule changed up. So any given week, I'll have at least one day off, whether it be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So I'll record one of those days.
You publish on Friday and you bring it to your audience as it's Friday. We're not doing live radio here.
Oh, thank God.
But you do a real good job of, you know, closing up the week. I usually bring mine out on Monday, and I suppose I could do a similar thing of, you know, pumping people up and so on. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's good things for both. Like for you starting on Monday, like it's a good thing because people they have a whole week ahead of them going into work or leaving work. I think Fridays are also great, in the sense that most people are in good moods on Fridays. So it's good to connect with them. And it's the weekend, you know. And
yes.
So I feel like if I don't catch the, if I don't drop the episode early enough on Friday, though, that can be a little bit of a hit, just because if people don't catch it before, like on the way to work in the morning, it might drop off for the weekend or something like that. But
yeah, I brought mine on Monday just to kind of thinking like, well, it's the business of pharmacy and people think the week starts on Monday and so on. And yours is perfectly positioned on Friday with people winding down and things like that.
Yeah, it feels good. It's a good way to start, just because I often hit my applause button just from the simple fact of like, hey, guess what? Like we made it another week, everybody. Like we did it. You know what I mean?
Mitch, I was tentative to reach out to you because I thought, oh man, this guy's got Kathy Lee and Hoda. I thought you got people beating down your door to talk to you. But you said I'm your first interviewer.
Yes. Yeah. This is my official first guest spot on a podcast. And so it's a little weird being on this side of the mic, but it's good. It's really good.
Another thing I thought was remarkable, and I guess my show's kind of like that in a way too. It's like, besides the quality of the audio on my show, mm-hmm. my first show is a lot like still my 30th show here. And I listened to your first show. It's very close in your personality. It's a little, you're a little bit looser, mm-hmm. a little bit looser sure. onwards, but it's both were high quality. And one of the reasons is I think when I was listening to you, you said you had waited for like a year and a half after you got your idea to mm-hmm. do this. Is that right? And why did you wait so long?
That's a good question. I appreciate you saying about the quality thing. I've always been kind of self-conscious of the quality of the podcast, especially the audio. I'm always trying to improve that and stuff. So that's good to hear. Yeah, I waited so long for a couple reasons. So I was in retail pharmacy and I was like, you know, I'm just my creativity was just stuffed, man. I was like, you know, going to work and checking mm-hmm. prescriptions and leaving, and there just wasn't right. a lot happening creativity wise. And I feel like I'm somewhat of a creative person. So I had this idea and, you know, I mulled it around a little while. And then I was part of this at the time. This was back in 2017. I was part of a mastermind group. Do you know what that is?
Have
you
ever heard of it? Yeah.
So I was a part of a mastermind group. It lasted like a year, I think it lasted a year. And so it was for those listening, if you don't know mastermind group is, it was me and a couple of guys would get together like once a month or twice a month and just talk about business and life and whatever. And so it was really, really helpful. And so I brought this up to them.
I've been trying to figure this out. Is mastermind a generic term or is that a nationwide, it's got structure and things like that?
It's not like a generic term. Like, I think if you're in a mastermind group, it all like means the same thing because I heard a TED talk on it.
So it means the same thing. Do you have like literature that says mastermind on the bottom?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so. I think it's just an idea.
It's an idea that everybody knows the same idea. It's like when people play chess, they all have the same rules.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly. And it's probably different from group, very, very different from group to group. So, in fact, one of the guys, Alex Barker, that I had on my show, he did like a pharmacy mastermind group. And so I was in this group and it was the perfect group to like bring the idea to and be like, guys, what do you think? And I had this one guy say something to me. Now at this point I'd been mulling the idea around for maybe like 6 months and I'd been listening to, I was a consumer of podcasts. I love podcasts. And he and I were talking about it and I was like, you know, I wanted to have this idea and I don't want it to be all about the downloads, but I need to have engagement for this to work from listeners. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if I'm going to have enough listeners. I don't know if I'm, you know, I was kind of being down on myself from the beginning. And he was like, man, he said, my dad is a locksmith. I think it was his dad. And he was like, he has a buddy who has a podcast about different locks and keys that like fit together.
Wow.
And he's like, if you can have a podcast about that, like you could do a podcast about this. And I was like, all right, you know, so I'm gonna do it. So
yeah.
I committed to 10 episodes just to see how it went. I knew they were going to be small at the very beginning. I think my first episodes were like 14-15 minutes long. Now they're about 30-35 minutes. Usually about the 35 minute mark I start to wrap it up. But and so I gave myself 10 episodes, and you know, I had some people reach out, and they were kind of engaged, and I was like, this is great. And so it's growing, and I think the number of downloads is 10 times more than I ever could have thought it could be. I think a lot of people are love to hear they're not alone.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride and it's been a lot of fun, so far, but the engagement is everything. And once it kind of started snowballing, it just started working and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. That engagement, once you get that going, that's really cool.
Oh, I should say too, to further answer your question, I think I continued to wait. Once I knew that I was going to do it, I wanted to start off on the right foot, like tech wise and make sure I got good equipment and not like seemed too much like a beginner. So
right.
I kind of pieced together things and I actually had a list of 30 titles of episodes that I could do. They actually didn't all turn into episodes, but
yeah.
Just like ideas of podcasts and stuff. So.
Well, and I think people forget too. It's like you forget how quickly the technology is moving to be able to do things that didn't seem like a possibility even 6 months ago. Like sometimes I'll say, well, why didn't I do the podcast? Why didn't I start this a year ago? It's like, well, the price has come down 10 times on something, or this program you and I are talking on right now, Mitch, was not there at the time. And so we would have had to have done some other thing. And so things change so quickly. Like, I'm always amazed when I think of Amazon. It's like, oh, yeah, Amazon's been in my life forever. And I look back at my buying habit, and it's just like, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago, it's like I bought 3 things a year from Amazon or something like that, you know?
It's true, man. I'm tracking with you. That's so true. I think, especially with me, I'm actually not that techie of a person at all. I mean, as you can tell, before we even started this recording, I was fumbling around and trying to get things together. And so you're right. Things have come along. And I think everything just came around. Like, everything happened at the right time, because I didn't have this idea necessarily back when it was a lot tougher to get a podcast together. And now, like you said, with this program we're on and the things that come out now and the board that I'm using, I mean, they make things very, very easy. So, like, if you have an idea, it's not as overwhelming as it seems. I mean, I think when I decided to do the episode, I had the idea for like a year and a half, but when I was like, all right, this is happening, I had my first episode recorded like pretty quickly.
All right. So, Mitch, what would you say your reason was for doing this? And I won't load that up. What was your reason for doing the podcast?
Oh, man. I would say, if I had to say, the number one reason would be to let people in our profession know that it's okay to say that you don't like your job. Or it's okay to say that, you know, hey, I'm getting paid like 6 figures in retail. Or heck, even if you're a tech, you're not even making near that much. I mean, technicians are some of my best people that reach out, because they're not even getting compensated as well.
Yeah, right.
But like, people are getting paid, like pharmacists say, are getting paid so well. So a lot of times they don't feel like they can complain or speak up or say anything. And yeah, you can get out. We can all get out. And I mean, Alex Barker talked about that. I had him on my show, and I like to talk about ways. Like, I had a guy named Nick Ornella on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, listen to some of that.
Yeah. So he was talking about, you know, taking a year off and just coming back. And so those things are possible, and we talk about that. But for most people who are in retail, it's not possible. If you got, you know, 3 kids, a mortgage, and student loans you're paying back, it's possible, but it's just not going to happen for them. And so to have this, I guess you can call it an outlet. I mean, you listen, but I really encourage you to send in topics, patients of the week, things that you need to get off your chest, even if you want to remain anonymous. If you're afraid of that mafia that we talked about coming after you, tell me you want to be anonymous. I mean, it still works. It still makes you feel better to get it off your chest. And just to say, like, you know what? I have this listener. I had a listener write in. She's a pharmacist in Ireland. She was dealing with the same stuff in Ireland. It's like, we deal with this stuff everywhere across the U.S. Doesn't matter your company. And we go through a lot of crap. I mean, for lack of a better word, like, we go through a lot of stuff that's really, really rough. Letting you know that you're not alone, I think, is really powerful. And on a slightly more selfish note.
Yeah, you sound like Mother Teresa so far. So let's get down to the dirt. Come on.
That was the rehearsed answer, Mike. That was my
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Come on.
All right.
So, Mitch, get down to the dirt.
As true as that was, it was definitely it feels good to say that, because it's a Mother Teresa answer, as you said. Now, yes, a more very, very selfish, more personal reason to get more creative, but also, look, when I'm in retail pharmacy, I'm working retail, I'm in a shift, I got a guy come up and he wants to get a controlled medication filled early. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to, you know, we can't do it if the doctor doesn't approve it, or if he's had a history of getting stuff early and he wants to get it like 10 days early. I'm like, I'm sorry, sir, we can't fill this early. Well, I get cussed out and he calls me all kinds of things and walks off. And here I am just having to like take it, and with a smile on my face. And before, it was like, if I'm being honest with you, Mike, I would leave and be like, I don't know how much more I can do. Like, I can't do this much anymore.
Right.
But now I have that same guy coming up and I'm like, well, you're going to be on my podcast. So
you're my material.
Like, that's my content. Thank you so much. So before it was like, wow, you're a jerk. But now it's like, thank you so much.
Yeah, truly. Truly.
That's the more selfish part.
That's not very selfish. That's not very selfish. You see that in a new light. You realize it's not directed at you.
Of course.
You can make something good of this by talking about that guy. It'll even be more valuable when, maybe instead of the podcast, we go to a vodcast and you can show a video of him.
Or do like some sort of reenactments or like, yeah. And I, you know, I should say too, like that is a reason why I do it. And it's funny and it's helpful and actually helps me get through the day and stuff. You know, on the podcast, like we do obviously complain a lot about retail, and if I'm being honest, we do make fun of patients because they ask really dumb questions sometimes.
Sure.
But you know, there is a redeeming quality to it. I think if I'm being honest, like I didn't want this to be, and even the guys at the mastermind group was like, you don't need this to be all negative. Like there is the redeeming quality of like, all right, you know, like just the other day I was talking about this lady had sent in a patient of the week, and the mother had called and said, well, you guys gave my child the wrong medication. And it turns out the reason she thought that is because her doctor told her her baby's amoxicillin was going to be pink. And the pharmacy gave them a dye-free white version. And so she got all mad and called the pharmacist all these words and all this stuff. And so, you know, I take a second and be like, wow, that's awful. She shouldn't have done that. But, you know, if I'm the mom and the doctor tells me that, like, I can kind of see why she did. So in there are, you know, we do make fun of people and patients and stuff. But it's all in fun. It's all satire. It's, you know, we try and keep it positive and be like, look, sometimes we are wrong. Sometimes we do things bad, or sometimes like this is why I understand where patients are coming from. So it is making fun of people. But at the same time, it's like, how can we even think better about our jobs and better about our patients?
Yeah, I like the one that I listened to. I'm not sure what episode it was, but one of your listeners had sent in that the lady said she skipped taking her water pill that day because she had gone swimming and was asking if she could skip it that day.
Oh, no, dude. There are times when I'm like, I'll read these patients of the week when they're sitting in, and that's my reaction. I'll just crack up laughing. So I'm like, I have to read these before I record so I won't just lose it on there.
Now, when those come in, you kind of collect them and then pick the funny ones out and so on?
Yes. So I have a system now. I didn't at the beginning because I wasn't expecting this many people to send in. But now I have a system where as soon as they send it in, I put their name. If I'm going to use their patient of the week, I put their name in this on my phone in this folder so I can remember to go back to it, because with my brain I'll respond and be like, oh, this is so great, and I'll use it and I'll just completely forget.
We got you off Mother Teresa, and now we got you down to a basic human that says people have needs of discussion and sharing and things like that. What else do you have up your sleeve? Is this anything that you got to be kind of happy when the numbers come in and you see things growing? Do you have thoughts of monetization, or do you have thoughts of a book or some other things? Or are you like, the more people that can share, the better, and that's where you are?
Yeah, that's a good question. I definitely thinking about that a lot. You know, it's funny, as a pharmacist, everyone who's listening works in, most of the people who listen to a podcast work in retail, so they know kind of what your salary is. So I've always had this like slight aversion to doing the Patreon, you know, where you it's always been an idea of mine, and I'm still kind of mulling it over and trying to decide some like bonus content I can provide if I do like a Patreon. And it would just be something small to start off, like $1, $2 a month if I were to go down that road. But I don't know. That going down that road, yeah, I've thought about, and that's tough for me to pull the trigger on. I think once the listener base grows just a little more, I can possibly go into some advertising. I've got to learn about the media decks. I don't know if you've dealt with media decks before. These advertisers want you to give them information about your podcast in a certain way, and so I've got to learn. I'm kind of learning as I go, I guess, is my point with all this stuff. And so, yeah, the advertising, I've definitely thought about monetizing it, especially because the listener base is growing, and I've been doing it for a while. And even though it's a wonderful hobby and I thoroughly enjoy it, I don't think there's any reason to not maybe try and do some sort of monetization. I do concede that, yeah, I'm thinking right now that the episodes are wonderful and having so much fun. It's such a blast. But I am kind of ready for the next thing. Like, I'm ready to take it up a notch, so to speak, and go to like next level. And Right now, for me, that's going to be a lot more interviews, kind of like we're doing right now. I've only done...
Yes.
I just released episode 66, and I've only done 3 interviews, and 2 of them were Alex Barker. So I definitely want to go down that road more. I think me shutting my mouth and letting someone else speak is going to be a lot better. It's tough to...
Well, not better, easier.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot, as you know, it's a lot easier to interview, I think, than to just hit record and you just have to speak for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. That's why it's so great to have.
Oh, that'd be,
yeah,
be tough
so
to do.
So patients send in stuff. That's why I say it's the driving force behind every episode, because there's no way I would have lasted 66 episodes just me running my mouth about my pharmacy. So I think interviews are going to be huge. I do. It's funny you mentioned the video aspect. I got to figure out how to incorporate video with keeping HIPAA intact. I definitely want to get into some video in some form or another, whether that be just recording my episodes or doing some sort of, you know, I've thought about the idea of like at work doing some sort of quick video about, you know, a skit between me and a tech about how a patient can be really, you know, funny and ask something weird,
yeah, right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are some ideas of what to do in the future, I suppose.
I don't know if you look at someone like Joe Rogan or something like that. Like, I know the program that we're on now will probably eventually go to a video, and then, you know, will I do that on YouTube? Like right now I put my audio on YouTube, which has some people don't suggest it, but
it's more exposure.
Yeah, it's more exposure. And if that part would be the, you know, the faces and things like that. You know, the part about the monetization, one thought that I have is it's kind of like a scoring system in a way. I was able to do something so valuable that people pay for it. And I haven't, and I don't have any near plans to do it. But it seems like that would be a reason why I would like to do it someday, just to, I don't know, maybe put a stamp of approval on it in my mind somehow or something. Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I haven't actually thought about it that way. I think as we're talking about it, I'm thinking about it more. There is, if I'm being honest, like an aspect where I'm like, I don't know if I'm like, if it's good enough to, you know, like, I don't know if I'm my, like, how do I say, if I start getting a Patreon, or even if I get some sponsorship, I'm going to have to really, man, every episode is going to have to be just the best it can be. And now I just kind of hit record and I'm more relaxed into it and have fun. And
yeah, you're like,
I'm wondering,
it's free. What do you look?
Yeah.
What do you
like,
want?
Come on. It's free. Like,
yeah,
what
are you asking for?
Are you going to complain about it?
Yeah, right.
Like, turn it off.
But, right.
So yeah, there's a aspect of, I'm like, I don't know if it's good enough. And then even if I get it, I'm going to have to just like be on even more than I am and be more stiff and stuff, which probably won't be the case, but that does, I guess, go through my mind.
I see what you're saying. I think I'd want to give them something with a lot of quality and not necessarily information or something they can use, even just quality relaxation or entertainment or something. But sure. I guess when it comes to advertisers, they don't care. They just want numbers of ears, probably, you know?
Yeah, they just want you to you know, say what you have to say about their product.
Yeah, as long as people are listening.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, when I was getting ready for starting the whole podcast, I listened to a podcast on how to podcast. And yeah. this guy threw out some rough numbers about how many downloads you need to potentially get sponsorship, although it varies wildly. I'm flirting with that number now, and I'm like, maybe I will. And I will feel more, I think I'll feel better about that than Patreon, even though Patreon is something I feel like I could do now to do monetization. But I'm with you. Like, I would want to provide... I think for Patreon, the first thing that comes to mind would be video for like my Patreon listeners.
Yeah.
So like I could do like a 2 or 3 minute video of me recording the podcast and send it to them or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There definitely needs to be some bonus content. But I think monetization is in the future. For right now, it's just fun doing it for free. You know, as you know, it's just fun, kind of fun, and
yeah,
you don't really have anything to worry about on that front.
Yeah, exactly. I think of myself as really like a talk show host, like a late night talk show host. You know, when you read a book, like let's say you're a good whatever. I'll just pick golf. I'm not a golfer. Let's say you're a good golfer. You know, the people that buy golf books are probably the good golfers. You kind of just like to read them and see if you're kind of in the right ballpark. It's kind of fun to listen to people talk and stuff like that. Probably, I'm just guessing, that's who they're going after and not to the person who's never golfed before. And I think that's the same with my show. It's like, I don't know, there's some information there, but I think it's just entertaining or kind of a camaraderie, just kind of hearing about business and
big time
and checking things off and saying, yeah, I do that too. And well, I'm on the right path and so on. And I think your thing too, it's like people want to know that there's camaraderie and they're kind of on the right path, and it maybe makes them feel, if they're having the same feelings of being tired or burnout once in a while or something like that, it's like, yeah, you're not so foreign because other people are doing it too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true. I'm tracking with you on that big time. I mean, and I think for me that plays into my approach to recording each episode. Before I record, you know, it's not, I think when my first few episodes, I was a little more stiff for sure. I mean, I'm going back and listen to the episodes, the first like 5 or 10. And I was like super nervous and trying to like, maybe trying too hard to be funny. But like, as it's gone on and as I've gotten the feedback for the show, and everything, and I think this is probably the same for you, it resonates more with people when you have that camaraderie. I mean, yeah, there's information. I mean, your podcast is infinitely more informational than mine. But like, I would venture to guess that even yours, if you have that camaraderie and just that like really relaxed, laid back, like honest approach to recording, and you're not just like stiff and like, all right, I've got to make sure this is perfect and edit this, you know, down to perfection. That gets the best response from listeners, and people really, they really identify with that. I think
they identify with it.
Yeah. There's a lot of podcasts out there and they're great and they're very well produced and they have, you know, even like scripts and things like that. And that's all well and good. But the conversational aspect of, I think, podcasting is what I've heard from your show, which is great. And what I try and do as well is like, just get on their level. And if I screw up, I mean, I'll edit out like a big cough or something, but
yeah,
if I like mess up or something like that,
yeah,
you know, I just kind of leave that in and just let that speak for itself and just be like, hey, I'm not perfect. Like, none of us are perfect and our jobs aren't perfect either. And so we're all kind of one big mess, but we're one big mess together.
Yeah. Right. Right. What would you be doing if podcasting did not exist? Now that you know that what a release it is and the camaraderie it is and so on, let's say that podcasting did not exist. Maybe we won't go as far as to say that social media wouldn't exist. But how might you have released this creativity or whatever, let's say, I don't know, 20 years ago or something? Can you think of anything you would have done or would things just not have been as releasing for you?
Yeah, probably not as much, but I would have given it a shot. Like, I think that, like we said, the timing is right now where I had the idea, I molded over, everything kind of came together, and then here's podcasting and it worked. And so I think, I'm pretty sure, like, if all those things happened in the same sequence, except for the fact that podcasts like weren't a thing.
Yeah.
Social media would be a huge way. I think it would be some sort of, how do you say, like blog or something. I like to write, so I would probably get into like writing some more. But the thing about writing is just, you know, people, you read like 4 or 5 sentences and then people like just drop off and they want to, you know, their attention span's not as much. So that's another great thing about podcasting. You do it while you drive or whatever. So maybe some writing, social media for sure. I don't know. There'd have to be some way to get the steam out to let everybody know, like, and maybe just me too, be like, hey, I kind of think that this job sucks sometimes. Does anybody else feel that way? And like, kind of wanting to get that feedback. So probably writing and Twitter, I would say, would be the, I have so much fun on Twitter. I will say this. I will say with Twitter, it's, if you're in the medical field, period, you can go on a Twitter and find a host of people that are doing your exact same thing and are tweeting like hilarious stuff about it. And pharmacies, no exception. There are people out there that are wonderful follows on Twitter that are pharmacists, that are technicians, that just like are like they're doing basically what I'm doing with the podcast. They're just like sending out tweets of like, hey, I had this guy come in and do this today. And you're like, oh my gosh. And of course they use, most of the time they use like a stage name.
Is it as ingenious as Mitch Lee?
I mean, you know, but maybe not as much, but no.
What is your middle name, by the way?
Ryan.
Ryan, that would have been a good one too.
Yeah, I could have done Ryan Lee, be like a little bit of, you know, trying to miss the mafia a little bit, but yeah. Well, a little bit. You know, with going back to Twitter, I guess like it's so much fun. The thing with Twitter you have to be careful about is that the people that are doing your job that help you know you're not alone and have funny stuff about, there's even people that do it about podcasting or, you know, pharmacy. If you're, you know, doctors, there are really funny people out there, but it can get pretty dark. Like I think there is a opportunity for my podcast to go down a pretty dark road and get, you know, vulgar. I had this one guy send in one time. He was like, you know, or no, he left a review on Apple on an Apple podcast, and he was like, you know, I love the podcast. It's great. I wish he'd use like profanity and use the F word like more often. You know, I was like, oh, okay, thanks for the feedback, I guess. So you know, and that's the like for me, kind of where the professionalism comes in. Like that's kind of trying not to go down that dark road where I'm like, look. We all want to use profanity when we have jobs we don't like and patients that yell at us and stuff. And, you know, there are people on Twitter that get pretty intense and get pretty dark. And so you have to take that with a grain of salt and roll with it. And there's some positive people on there too, but overall it's pretty fun. And it can be also a great way to know you're not alone.
Well, and I think the thing is too, Mitch, it's kind of like, I stopped reading back in the day, I stopped reading like letters to the editors in some of the pharmacy magazines because it just got to be like bitch, bitch, bitch all the time. And what I liked about listening to your show is that there's a difference between bitching about your job and like bitching about your kids, you know? Because it's like, I love my kids, but I'll, to my wife, we'll complain about something. But ultimately, you're not like balancing on like, should we sell them or not? Or should we, you know?
What can I get for these kids?
What can you get for them? You know what I mean? It's like, there's a love there. And it's like, yeah, we're complaining. But at the end, it's like a nice little sitcom. It wraps up and you say, oh, we all love each other. And I think that what I've got out of your show, the difference between a bitch fest and your show would be, this is good. It's all good. We're doing this, but it's to let off steam so we can do better and that kind of thing.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head, my man. And I really appreciate that just because I feel like that's my goal with this podcast. And it feels like just from what you said and from others' feedback that it's kind of translating, it's coming through because, you know, at the end of every episode, I say, you know, keep fighting. We'll see you next time. Like, keep fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, keep going back. Keep doing it. I mean, you know, it's not for everybody. If you feel like you don't want to do it anymore, then that's fine. And you can, you know, you can move on. And but for those of us who moving on either isn't an option or we don't feel like it's an option, or like you said, like we don't like a lot of our job most days, but you know, we still like it overall and we keep doing it for those people. Yeah. Like keep at it, man. Keep doing it. It may not get better. It does get better for some days are great. Some days aren't, but the point is like, yeah, you had that patient come in and yell at you because the orange flavor Benadryl wasn't in stock. Yeah, I did the same thing last week, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, Mitch, how long have you been in community pharmacy?
I graduated pharmacy school in 2010, but I was a pharmacy cashier back in 2004 and stayed with my company since then. So I've been at the same company in retail pharmacy for almost 16 years. It's funny because I was as a cashier, a technician, and then I got to pharmacy school. I was an intern and then a pharmacist. And so sometimes when I was floating, I would go to stores and they would just ask like, oh, how long have you been doing this? And I'm like, well, I started as a cashier. And actually, if you didn't know, with this company, you can actually start as a cashier. If you stay with the company long enough, they'll promote you to pharmacist. And I remember one girl in particular was like, really? I was like, yeah, totally. And I let her believe it for like an hour. And then I told her it was not true.
How have attitudes changed, if at all, from 10 years ago till now with the retail workforce? Has it been you know, one answer would be it's been the same stress, different mm-hmm. problems, sure. but we would have got these same things, you know, 100 years ago. They'd have been complaining about this and this. So it's just human nature, et cetera. Or have you seen a dramatic change in, let's say, 10 years of the community pharmacist's attitude, let's say?
That's a great question. I would say overall, probably the same. And the only reason I say that is when I was, I remember a very specific time when I was a technician at my, early on in technician, probably 2005, 2006, there was a patient who came up and I don't remember the interaction, but I remember for some reason very clearly when they walked away, the technician who waited on her turned around. She's like, "That's why I have to drink beer when I get home." You know, so she was like, so, and I'm sure it's, you know, it's different from company to company and person to person.
Yeah.
But I think overall it's probably been the same, like with everyone, like in a very general sense. I think with me, just being honest with you, I think it's probably gotten, my attitude has actually gotten worse up until probably the beginning of the podcast, which has actually helped a tremendous amount. I remember getting into pharmacy, being so gung-ho about it. And then it was so funny because there was a time in my life where things just didn't get to me at all. I was just like, it would roll right off. I'd be like, no big deal. You know, it's whatever. Like, this is great. This is still what I want to do. And I'll have interns come in that have that same mentality. And I just kind of laugh. I'm like, oh, you know, give it time. You'll see. But yeah, you know, not everyone, but you know, as time has gone on, I don't know what it is, Mike, if it's just like the wearing down of working with the public or what, but it's, for me, I just feel like the idea before the podcast, the idea for me was like, I don't know how much I can take of this. And in fact, I would always tell people, I'm not going to retire from retail. I'm just not going to do it. I can't handle it. I can't do it. And since the podcast, and I'm not saying the podcast is just like it's like fixed everything and all of a sudden I just completely love my job now. If you listen to the show, you know that's not true, but it's changed a lot. And I think there's kind of been this like renewing of me like feeling better about my job and being okay with, I may not still retire from retail, but I'm not out there like actively searching to get out of retail at this point. So I guess I started out feeling great and there was like this low point and I don't really know what caused it. It was just years and years of dealing with the same stuff. And then now it's getting a little better. Maybe that's me maturing, or the podcast or what have you, but it's getting better now. I think things are changing. Like, the landscape of pharmacy and retail is drastically changing. And so that's going to come with its host of problems. And right now the people are kind of freaked out. People are kind of scared, I think, right now for their jobs. But I think that it's going to be, I don't know if that's going to change so much of everyone's attitudes towards retail. I think it's, in my personal opinion, I think it's kind of stayed the same and it probably will continue, at least for the foreseeable future.
I ain't no therapist. With that said, when I think of what the show has done for you is, and I ain't no thespian either. When I look at you, I'm looking at like William Shakespeare.
Wow.
And before this show, you were part of these drama and the tragedies. You were part of it. And now as you have this podcast, you've realized that you're not one of the characters. You're William Shakespeare. You're able to look at it as one object and one part, but it's not who you are. You're part of the authorship.
I like that. I like that, Mike. I appreciate that. I will say that, there is an element to the podcast of being able to step outside of everything that's happening and take a look at it from, I think that comes like from when I hit record or when I'm getting ready for the show and I hit record. Like talking about the week and talking about everyone else's week, it's a huge way to step back and hopefully listening. You can do this too if you're a listener, taking a step back and looking at it and being like, man, that was tragic or that was a comedy or that was like funny that happened or whatever. But we're still here and you know that we're gonna do it again next week and but it's not like something that we have to carry on our shoulders home and get mad at the dog and like. and all that stuff. Yeah, it doesn't define us. It's what we do. It's crazy. It's insane. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's what we do. But we all do it together. And yeah, it's a perspective shift. It's been very helpful.
If you could dream really big on this, I mean really big on the show and your podcasting or whatever, what could you envision or what would be like the really coolest thing to happen? And then would you quit your job and do, I'll just say, something like this full time? You know, would you be writing? Would you be traveling and meeting and doing this? But in your wildest dreams, how would something like this take off and what would you enjoy?
Oh man, I like this question. First of all, my first goal with this would be for the monetization side to take off to this point where I could work retail part-time and do podcast part-time. Because I feel like if I were to completely get out of retail,
right,
then it would be difficult to continue with the podcast because a lot of the content comes just from knowing, you know, staying up to date with what's going on in retail and going to work and coming home and things like that.
Plus, you lose your, like, well, we made it. It's like, well, no, exactly. You didn't really make it. You're sitting on your ass in your home. You might have made it 3 years ago.
It's like, speak for yourself, man. Yeah.
But now you're just living off the foibles of the
yes
crowd's misery.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I think if I were to continue the podcast, I'd have to at least do a shift or two per week. At least something to be like, hey, I just got through with this shift and this the crazy thing happened. Did stay connected? Yeah. Stay connected with the listeners, I think, for sure. I guess with my dream for this podcast would be, like, I'll say this, and this is going to sound so over the top cheesy and Mother Teresa, and if you edit this out, I totally understand. But, like,
no, now I'm keeping it in.
The idea of the podcast with, like, letting you know you're not alone, like, I'll have people send in patients of the week, and that's great. But people will often send in, and they'll say, man, thanks for doing what you're doing. Like, I really thought that I hated my job and I was like alone, or like I thought I was going through this. And like, it feels good to know that I'm not alone. And that's the stuff I'm like, man, hell yeah. Like, that's freaking great. That's why I'm doing this. And so I think for me, the next big step would be just growing the listener base and having and being able to reach out to more people, which would in turn, I think, lead to the monetization and doing that, you know, mostly full time and a pharmacy part time. But, you know, I think with people sending in their stuff that's going on in their pharmacy, there is, you know, if I'm dreaming my biggest dreams here, I think there's a world that could be where I'm not in working a pharmacy bench, but I'm identifying with people. People are sending in their stuff so much that it's driving every episode. I'm possibly able to do it full time, maybe a couple shifts on the side, retail pharmacy, just to keep my head in the game. But possibly doing it full time. And, you know, there are some podcasts that are successful enough to have live shows, like they'll travel and do like a live recording at places.
Right.
And that to me, Mike, just sounds like the man. If I get to a point where I'm doing like even a small like tour and I'm like talking to pharmacists and technicians,
sure,
or like recording a podcast that way. And man.
Or you go to like University of such and such and you're on their,
that's even
on
better
their campus,
idea.
And yes, you're doing a live show in front of their, you know, class or Collins or something.
That actually make more sense to go to like pharmacy schools or like go to different establishments like that. I think, man, that would be great. And then also keep, you know, really ramping up the interview side. I mean, I've got so much to learn with interviews, not only with the tech side, but being an interviewer and that back and forth. I've got a lot to learn. And so I would love to ramp that side up and maybe somehow, I guess, do that touring full time slash a lot more interviews, both in person and abroad, I think would be the ultimate goal.
Is there a love of podcasting? Is there a love of being behind the mic than being, let's say, in front of a camera. Let's say that this goes to video casting and you sure. find out that you're able to do more by being video in a studio or something like that. Is there a love of the microphone and the podcast and kind of the anonymity or the or do it in your pajamas kind of thing? Or would you take either of those?
Mike, how did you know that I do my podcast in my pajamas?
Well, I'm being generous. Let's put it that way. Yes. You don't know that I've got a movable camera eye.
Oh my gosh. Yes. There there is a aspect to that that I love. I think when the time comes to do some sort of video content, I'll be ready to jump in. I'm fully excited about the idea of video. Yeah. I think podcasting was really, it was actually just really easy to acquire, to do the research, to acquire the microphone and just hit record and go.
Yeah, right.
And if with me, with this podcast, Mike, it's all about ease, man. It's all about like, if things start getting too techie and like, oh, you gotta, you know, what kind of like, you know, what kind of board are you using and all this stuff? I'm like, oh, dude, I don't know, man. I'm just like, I just need to get my voice out there. So I think, the ease of it makes podcasting so alluring mm-hmm. and just how much it's taken off and how much fun it is. But yeah, if it turns to video, I think it would be as equally fun.
Yeah.
I think from both sides, I believe.
If you had to increase your audience, mm-hmm. would you argue and say, well, I better talk to all pharmacists about their crazy day? Or would you say, no, this is, I'm going to get more listeners because of this niche? And I would argue that second point is probably the truth. And I think that's what you think. Yes. And I think that's what the podcasting world is thinking.
If I were to have like a potential sponsor and they were going to be like, okay, well, we can do it, but we just need an extra 1,000, 2,000 downloads a month. And, you know, I was like, they're like, well, you could always try this or, you know, if I was part of a podcasting network and I'm like, well, you have to branch out, you have to do this stuff. I honestly, Mike, don't think I could do it with, I don't think I would do it. I mean, I think the idea of this being so specific and me being passionate about helping other podcasts and technicians in our field is the only way this is working. And it's the only way it's making me come alive when I record. And so my goal would be to just be like, well, if I'm going to grow my listener base, I've just got to get more, I guess, to get my name out there more, to, I don't know if that's advertising more. I mean, if I put it this way, like if I send out a tweet and it gets some attention and then that turns into followers, those followers are, if they're in the pharmacy world at all, they'll turn into listeners. So
yeah,
it's like as people hear about not just my podcast, but podcasts in general, as they hear about it more and more, that turns into downloads. So I think like just somehow getting the retail pharmacy, RETELL pharmacy, the retail pharmacy podcast, like name out there more would be the only way that I would be interested. I think the only way I could like grow the base. And I think it would be successful in that way because, you know, just going back to pharmacy being so stiff and everything, when someone hits play on one of my episodes and the first thing they hear is, me laughing because I hit the wrong sound effect button. Like, I think that can go a long way.
Number one, it has to do with what you want to do, where your joy is. But I had the same question, you know, with mine. It's like, I could say, well, I'll go business in general. It's like, well, there's already a million. You know, then you're competing against the Gary V's and all these people. But the one thing I can offer that they can't offer is the niche of the pharmacy business. And same with you. There's a lot of crazy job stories, that kind of
totally.
Stuff.
100%. And I think that's kind of worked in my favor. It was funny because before I started the podcast, I was nervous about looking at retail or looking at pharmacy podcasts and wondering if someone had already like took my idea. And I didn't really see anything like it, which gave me more reason to do it. And so I think it being so unique and so specific to retail pharmacy does help. I think, again, I think you can have the talent to go in a lot of different directions, but I don't know, man, that seems pretty overwhelming. I think the niche thing goes a long way with both me producing it and the listeners, I believe.
If you want to mess with that, you know, we're all set up to do another niche, I suppose, if we, you know, wanted to, since you're incognito. You know, all right. So, Mitch, what would you do if what would you be doing right now if you weren't in pharmacy?
Okay,
and podcasting did not exist.
I'd be a writer.
You'd be a writer.
Yeah, 100%. I love writing. I've loved. I feel like I've always been pretty good at writing. The thing is, I don't know what I'd write about necessarily.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I will say, just like in school and stuff, like anytime we did write papers, like I never dreaded that. I always loved it. And then any kind of writing that I've done outside of work is just always really fun. It's a really good way, a creative outlet for me. And you know, I've thought about that. You know, you get asked the question like, well, you know, what would you do if you quit pharmacy? And like, well, I'd be a writer. Well, okay, what kind of writer? Well, I don't know. I mean, I love fantasy football. I love NFL football. So maybe I'd be a sports writer. Maybe I'd write fiction. Maybe I would, you know, the sky's the limit, I guess. So I don't really know, but that's the thing I keep coming back to, for, you know, where my brain would go if this wasn't like a thing.
Mitch, what would you do right now if somebody said, you're done tomorrow? I want to dig a little bit. You're done tomorrow. Now I'm going to go one more deeper and say, no writing, nothing similar to what you're doing. Nothing similar to what you're doing. No pharmacy, no podcast, no writing. We want you to take a year sabbatical and do something, and then you're going to come back. What would that year be?
So in this scenario, am I also away from like social media and YouTube?
Yeah, none of that.
The answer is simple for me. I am very much into fitness. I love running. I love breaking a sweat, getting out there. Anytime I need to clear my head, going for a run before recording is the best thing that I can ever do for my listeners and my episodes.
Really?
Yes, 100%. It clears the mind. It's relaxing. And so I would 100% do something. I mean, it will be tough because especially here in Nashville, there are just so many, all these new boot camps coming out and all these new things like that. So I don't know what it would be necessarily, but it would be along the lines of some sort of fitness, some sort of like, and not so much like getting bulky, lifting weights, but like really endurance running, things like that. Anything that makes you sweat helps you get your heart rate up. That's always been a side passion of mine. It's helped kind of bleed into to not only podcasting, but pharmacy in general, because I'll go for a run before work and I'm like, bring it on, man. Bring on anything. Like, I can take it on.
You've got that thing that they call the runner's high that I've always said. I've always said the runner's high is just not having a guilty fat conscience. Like, you know, you're supposed to do it. You hate
it. That's the high you get.
It's not a high. It's if life is at like 50, when you start thinking about needing to exercise and you're supposed to exercise,
yeah,
it goes down to like 20, and then you're feeling more guilt and it goes down to 10. So you run and then you come back up to 50 and that's your high. But I'm thinking you might even be above 50 somewhere.
Oh yeah. It's, you know, I started doing it. My mom is really into it. She got me into it when I was in high school and I've kind of never stopped. And it's just been, I think you're right. I think when I get through, it's a feeling that I'm just like, man, everything's clear in my brain. Everything's okay. And yeah, everything's okay, I guess is the point. When I get through with a tough day, it's really hard to run after work. I usually run before.
Right. Yeah.
But like, it's really funny because I'm on vacation right now, Mike, actually.
I know you are. That 2 weeks you got. I heard that on your show.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm in the middle of vacation. So
thank you for letting us in your world during vacation.
Dude, please. Come on. This is so much fun for me. And I think the main point about me being on vacation is that I also decided to wear pants for this interview. So even though I'm on vacation,
I don't know. Kind of like going back to Shakespeare. Was it Shakespeare that said, dost thou protest too much or something like that? I don't know my Shakespeare, but it sounds like something you would say. But every time you bring that up, it's about the straight face.
I'm glad you brought that up about what I would do without not doing pharmacy, because fitness is a really big part of my life. And maybe it's a runner's high. Maybe it's just a way. I think I was talking to someone who was saying there's a thing called bipedal stimulation where when you're running, the left side of your brain, let me butcher this, can more accurately communicate with the right side of your brain. So if you have ideas that you've got going on, if you're like running or exercising in some way, can kind of bridge that gap and kind of help you bring it into reality. I know it sounds weird and I completely butchered that, but the idea is it helps process things. It helps all of the things, at least for me personally, all the stuff that's going wrong in my life, just kind of turns, still there when I get through running. It just turns the volume down a little bit.
Yeah. When you say we made it through the week, I think people can relate to that, you know?
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I do. That really means a lot. I think that kind of feedback is really, really helpful for me, just because from times I can start to get down and be like, oh, no one's, you know, interested anymore or whatever. But it was super easy for me to feel conversational. And the key to the podcast, I think, is being conversational, is being on a level where when you're listening to it, you're not listening to some highly produced person talking about pharmacy. You're listening to someone who just got through with a really crappy day, and you probably did too.
As pharmacists, the reason why that conversationalism really sticks out is because I think by the nature of pharmacists that the average pharmacist is quite analytical, and you know, we have to be often, you know, black and white, and things are right or wrong and so on. And I think that sometimes we can fall into the, I'll say it this way, like I often will contact the news in town, you know, the PR stuff and so on. And it's really an easy thing for me to do because, one, by the nature of being able to do it and not having to go through a corporate ladder to do it, but also I like to do it and I stick out because I like to do it. Where if I was in a profession of, let's say, marketers or real estate agents, it would be more of a battle to stick out. So I think that your conversations, Mitch, with your style, it just really sticks out. I think you're doing a great job.
Man, I appreciate it, Mike. I do. It's all about, for me, it is all about connecting and the people that are sending stuff in. I've said on the show before, there are my favorite episodes of my podcast are just when I can hit record and read everyone's patient of the week and stuff they're going through and then say, keep fighting, we'll see you next time. And that's it. And it's just so great because people hear their name, they get a shout out, but everybody else, like for example, I just had an episode where a girl sent in and she was like, hey, I need some help, or, you know, has this happened to anybody else before?
Yeah.
I had a patient ask me out, and now it's really awkward when they come back or whatever. And so I talked about that on the show, and I've had, since that episode, I've had, you know, several people reach out and be like, oh my gosh, that totally happened to me. And so when I record tomorrow or the next day, I'll bring that up and be like, hey, last week we had this lady say this. Turns out she wasn't alone because it happened to everybody else. So I guess it just goes all back to, it's great to be super conversational and stuff. And it's so driven just by everyone else writing in saying, yeah, patients can be awful and stuff, but we're all going to keep doing it. Here's some positivity behind it, and we're not alone.
That was a sucky way to end the show. Now I realize that I haven't been asked out, and now I think I've been doing something wrong.
Okay, Mike, it's coming. It's coming. It's all in time.
Actually, I was asked out before.
You were at the pharmacy?
Yeah, yeah. It was someone who had just come in from getting their eyes tested. I think they could only see about...
Oh, my God.
I think they can only see about 1 foot in front of them.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mitch, great talking to you.
Mike, thanks so much for having me on, man. I had a blast. So great.
It's so fun to talk to people and then listen in on their podcast or different writings or things they've done and know them and you just kind of hear things from a different angle. So this is quite a pleasure for me.
Oh, man, Mike, I really appreciate it. I've had such a good time, and keep doing what you're doing, man. I actually listened to a couple podcasts in preparation for the interview, and it's awesome. Like, keep it up.
Well, thank you. It's like I say, as long as I stay away from any drug names, I'm good.
You and me both.
People reach out. Retail Pharmacy.
Yes, it's RETELL Pharmacy. Facebook, Twitter, both of those are great places to reach out. DMs, are the best way to let me know, like a patient you want to talk about, but also, you know, comments on the page, anything like that. And of course, subscribing to the podcast. It's on Apple, iTunes, on Google Play, and Spotify.
Yeah, there's a great shot of you, Mitch, been through the wash a little bit with your band-aids on your head, and you've seen it all.
Yeah, that's a little Fight Club version of retail pharmacy.
All right, Mitch, we'll talk to you soon.
Mike, thanks again, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.